how about you? Did you come here today to worship him? Was it a hard time to get here? Was it difficult? These Magi went 1,000 miles to worship the Lord. Did you come simply to sing songs, hear the message, and see your friends, or did you come to worship Jesus Christ?
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, with Christmas just 1 week away, our thoughts are turned to last-minute shopping, preparing for family to arrive, and other Christmas activities, and it's easy to miss the true reason that we celebrate.
Dave, that's so true, and the world beckons our flesh to spend our time and energy and money and efforts preparing for this Christmas day by filling our lives with activities rather than stopping and focusing on God's unspeakable gift to mankind, his Son, Jesus Christ. Our text is Matthew chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 12.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, let me ask you this, and I ask myself this also. Why did we come to worship service today? Did you come because you were told to? Did you come because you wanted to? Why did you come here today? Did you come with an attitude, or did you come with joy? Did you come simply to sing songs and hear a message and see your friends, or did you come to worship Jesus Christ? Now, we can certainly be distracted by good things like fellowship and singing praises unto our Lord and those things. But why did you come here today? Today we're going to look at three responses to the birth of King Jesus. And we're going to see one of joyful worship, another of fearful agitation, and another of murderous hate. So would you turn your Bibles with me as we examine Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. Now, a little context for the book of Matthew. It is accepted universally that Matthew is the inspired author of the book of Matthew. And the book was written sometime after the ascension of Christ in the early 30s AD and before the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And Matthew, or Levi, which was his formal name, was a tax collector. He was a sinner who was called to repentance by Jesus Christ in Matthew 9, and we see it in Luke 5. And the Lord Jesus calls Matthew to follow him, and he does. Now, as I shared last week, the Gospel of Matthew is very Jewish, and it contains a myriad of Old Testament quotes, and it appears to bridge the truth of the Old Testament with the New Testament, and it is certainly the most Jewish of the Gospels. Now, within this, we see Matthew as the presentation of King Jesus. And with the presentation of the king, there must be teaching concerning his kingdom, and this book is about Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Yet it is also about the opposition to and rejection of Jesus Christ, this rejection culminating in his crucifixion, which is the venue in which he brings about salvation. And with this, as we reviewed it, but then we looked later on in chapter 1, we saw that Jesus Christ is the son of David, the son of Abraham. Specifically, that Jesus Christ fulfills that Davidic covenant. He is in the line of David, in which there would be a king who rules forever. And he also fulfills the Abrahamic covenant, in which through Abraham's seed all the nations would be blessed. And it's through Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, that salvation blessing is brought to those who would receive him. And then we saw the genealogy in chapter 1 of Joseph's side, that genealogy that proves Jesus has the right to the throne of David, rightfully the King of the Jews. And then last week, we saw the birth of Jesus Christ. And you might remember we saw Joseph's dilemma, that Mary had been found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and Joseph, a righteous man, desired to put her away secretly. But the Lord God intervened through an angel in a dream, pointing out the great truth that God was taking on human flesh. And so he was not to fear, but to marry Mary, to take her as his wife. And then we saw the reason why, the wonderful, fantastic reason why, And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. And all of this points to the prophecy that was fulfilled through the coming of Christ. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Jesus Christ broke the barrier between God and man, the sin barrier, by paying our sin debt on the cross. And if you trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have a relationship with the living God. God will be with you. Tremendous reality. So with that in mind, we come to chapter 2 of the book of Matthew, in which I believe we're going to see three different responses. And we need to examine our hearts to what is our response to the reality concerning Jesus Christ. So again, turn to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. And first of all, notice we see the Gentile Magi arrive looking to worship King Jesus. Verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Our text begins with the statement, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Here, Matthew, inspired by the Spirit, is pointing out the timing in which these things took place. Now remember, it says after Jesus was born. And you'll remember they were to call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. The term Jesus, Yeshua, the Lord is salvation. God is salvation, the God who took on human flesh. The Messiah King, God incarnate, had been born. He had been born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, Bethlehem is also called the city of David, Luke chapter 4. And it's about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. And an interesting note here, we see that Bethlehem means house of bread. In the context of God's sovereign hand, we see that Jesus was born in a city called house of bread. We know later on in the Gospel of John that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He is the one in whom, if we partake of him by faith, we will have eternal life. He is the one who brings the words of life, and it is in him alone in which we have eternal life. Now in our text, we see the timing of his birth. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days, verse 1, of Herod the king. Now notice, Herod is called the king. But who is this Herod? He's called the king. And he's also called Herod the king in verse 3. Now I want you to note that Luke makes it clear in chapter 1, verse 5, that Herod is the king of Judea. So who is this Herod guy? Who is he? Well, first of all, Herod, or as he was known at that time, Herod the Great, was not a Jew. He was an Idumean. He was of Edomite origin. Esau would have been his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, right? Now with that, Herod was not a very nice man. In 47 B.C., when he was in his mid-20s, he was named the governor of Galilee. A very high position. Apparently Rome was hoping that they could pacify the Jews. And through a trail of much blood, Herod did so. And Herod, as we will see, was a clever yet evil man who used violence to hold on to his power. A very powerful man indeed. He refurbished the temple, and it was even at that point called Herod's temple. He was also a brutal killer. He killed many people to stay in power, including his brother-in-law, his mother-in-law, and his wife. And he also ordered his sons by one wife to be put to death. He was a brutal murderer. And even Caesar said of Herod, it is safer to be Herod's sow than his son. He was a brutal man who would kill to get his way and to stay in power. And even on, certainly later in chapter 2, we see the scripture reveals he was a murderous maniac of a dictator. Look down at verse 16. We see he tried to get the Christ. He slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its environs, from 2 years old and under. He slew all the babies and all the children. Murderous, murderous man. So Herod was the king of the Jews by virtue of Rome. And so now, back in our passage, we have the true Messiah, the king of the Jews, has come onto the scene, and we have these magi coming to look for him. Verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, take a look, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, here we have King Herod, this despotic, murderous king of the Jews, willing to do anything to hold on to his power. And now, behold, some magi from the east arrived and they're saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We got a problem here, right? You have this maniac who is the king of the Jews who will do anything to hold on to his power. And you have these magi coming saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now, these magi were looking for he who had been born king of the Jews, to worship him. Now, nowhere, don't get your theology from Christmas cards, but nowhere do we see that it's three kings, and it's a great song, right? We three kings from Orion are, right? But it doesn't say that there's three kings here in Scripture. It just says magi. Magi from the east. And also, we see that the star did not actually, as we'll see, lead them to Jerusalem. They saw his star in the east, and then they traveled to Jerusalem. And then, as we'll see later on, that same star led them from Jerusalem 6 miles south to Bethlehem. So what do we know about the Magi? Now, it's not my intent to get into all the issues concerning the Magi and all the external history, which many people get into, so I just want to summarize a few things. Because getting into all the stuff that everyone will talk about is not the point of our passage. So what do we know about these magi? The text says they were from the east. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. They were from the east. And some teachers go so far as to speak of these magi as being kingmakers. And although that's possible, I don't see this anywhere in Scripture, historically speaking. And I wouldn't stake my sermon on it. What I do see here is they were not coming to make Jesus the king. They already recognized him as the king. They were coming to worship the king of the Jews who had been born. That's why they were coming, to worship. Now, this is interesting that these magi existed possibly in the time of Daniel also, when Israel had been exiled to Babylon. It's interesting, about 600 years before, Nebuchadnezzar had appointed Daniel ruler over the province of Babylon because the Lord had enabled him, Daniel, to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And within this, Daniel 2:48, he reveals that he made him chief prophet over all the wise men of Babylon. And in Daniel 5:11, we see that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, made Daniel the chief of the magicians, or magi, the conjurers, the Chaldeans, and diviners. Now, this term magicians here, magi, is only seen two other places in the New Testament in Acts concerning a magician. It's translated that way. But it's only seen also in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's only seen 10 times in the book of Daniel. And so within this, were these magi pagan astrologers? Possibly. Yet most likely they were the wise men of their day. They were most likely highly educated, like those in the day of Daniel. And so it's possible that the biblical truth that Daniel had shared down was passed down to the magi. Remember, they're looking for who has been born king of the Jews. So it's possible. But what we do know about them for sure, is pagan or not, is that when they received revelation from God, they responded. They responded and they wanted to worship. So what can we observe about the Magi here from Scripture? It's apparent they had influence, okay? They were able to receive a hearing before Herod, as we will see. And also it's apparent that there's probably more than three, because all of Jerusalem was troubled. Obviously, it was probably a large caravan of people with certainly their own troops to guard them, whatever it might be. And we see that most likely because of the response of Jerusalem and that Herod gave them an audience. So then, we have this group of foreign dignitaries coming to Jerusalem, asking questions of those in Jerusalem, where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? Verse 2, for we saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him. They're looking for he who has been born the King of the Jews. We saw his star in the east. Now, if you think about that, a lot have tried to figure out through man's wisdom, what's this star? Was it an unusual alignment of Jupiter and Saturn in 7 BC or whatever? Was it Halley's Comet? There's all kinds of theories out there. But based on the text, I believe this is a supernatural phenomenon. It's a miracle. It's a miraculous appearance of light. And you say, how can I say that? Look down at verse 9. And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them till it came and stood over where the child was. That's no normal star. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. The star they had seen in the east, his star they call it, caused them to go to Jerusalem to say, where has he been born, King of the Jews? And then later on, as we'll see, it led them to the actual place. So these Gentile magi were given revelation from God, possibly passed down from Daniel, the head of the wise men, 500 years earlier, and they most likely understood somehow that the king had been born, for they saw his star. And so they come, and they recognize they needed to worship him. This is no normal king. They needed to worship him. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and come to worship him. 1,000 miles with little revelation to worship him. You see, they understood that the King of the Jews who had been born was worthy of worship. You see, indeed, God had taken on human flesh, and only God is worthy of worship. And these magi had come to Jerusalem and were looking for the King of the Jews to worship him. Well, how about you? Did you come here today to worship him? Was it a hard time to get here? Was it difficult? These magi went 1,000 miles to worship the Lord. Did you come simply to sing songs, hear the message, and see your friends, or did you come to worship Jesus Christ? Did you come to worship Jesus Christ? Well, notice the response of King Herod and the unexpected response of the Jews. Verse 3, and when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So the news gets to Herod because these magi are asking, where is he who's been born King of the Jews? And the news gets to Herod, okay? And it says, Herod the king heard it. He was troubled. The word means to be stirred up, to be shaken up, to be thrown into an unsettled state. Speaks of mental and spiritual agitation, disturbed, troubled, upset, agitated. He was shook up. You probably understand the feeling when something you've heard, some news is greatly disturbing that has caught you off guard, and all of a sudden you hear it, it shakes you up. And he was shooken up. He was shooken up. He was troubled. Now, within the wicked character of Herod that we have looked at already, we can understand this response, right? He is an evil man who does not want to give up his power, so he will do anything to keep it. He is just like Satan. And so we see Herod is the king of the Jews, and these magi have come, and they're looking for he who was born king of the Jews. And so in the context of Herod's wickedness, we can understand that evil response. But what I don't understand is the response of all Jerusalem. Look at verse 3 again. And when Herod the king heard it, that's the magi are asking, where is he who was born king of the Jews? We've come to worship him. It says, Herod, he was troubled, and all, not part, but all, Jerusalem with him. You say, wait a second, this doesn't make sense. The Jews were waiting for the Messiah to be born. Shouldn't they have been rejoicing? Is it possible the King of the Jews has been born? Is it possible the Messiah has been born? Is it possible? But why would they be all shaken up at the news? Why would they be? They knew the Word of God. They knew the prophecies concerning the Messiah who would come. Well, let me suggest a reason why they were shaken up. And I believe the possible answer is the Jews at the time of Herod were in unbelief. They were in unbelief. They knew the Word of God. They claimed to know God, but they were in unbelief. It's like what happens in many churches on Sunday. People know the Word of God. They claim to know God, but yet they are shaken up when the truth of God crosses their will and their ways. So they're troubled, and all Jerusalem with them. And we see their unbelief, I believe, is exemplified by the fact they ultimately would reject their Messiah and call upon Him to be crucified. The Apostle John says in John, let's turn to John 1. Let's look at verses 9 to 11. John 1, verse 9. There was a true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. This is speaking of Christ. And the world did not know Him. He came to His own, that's the Jews, and those who were His own did not receive Him. They didn't receive Him. You look down, and you'll remember after the feeding of the 5,000, later those same people saw Jesus, and He rebuked them because of their focus on physical sustenance rather than the God in their midst whom they needed to believe to be saved. Look at John 6. John 6, verse 35. John 6, 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall not hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst. But I said to you, you have seen Me, and yet do not believe. They saw the Messiah, and they didn't believe. Look further up, John 10, verse 24. John 10, we see the outright rejection of Jesus by the Jews. John 10, 24. The Jews therefore gathered around Him and were saying to Him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in My Father's name, these bear witness of Me. But you do not believe because you are not of My sheep. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of My hand. My Father has given them to Me and is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 37. And then we'll get back to our passage after that. Matthew 23, verse 37. This is the Lord Jesus weeping over Jerusalem that had rejected Him. He was about to go to the cross.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, share with us the three responses that we see here in Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus.
You know, Dave, the three responses that we saw to the person of Jesus Christ was first, a hateful, wicked response from Herod. He was violently opposed to Christ. And then second, we saw an apathetic, uncaring response of the Jews. They just didn't care. They were too busy and preoccupied with their own lives to stop and recognize that God was in their midst. And then finally, we saw the worshipful response of the Magi, those who sought and came to worship Jesus Christ and praise Him. And now, friend, as we approach Christmas, it's my prayer that you would be like the Magi, recognizing Jesus Christ for who He really is, and then giving your attention, your worship, and praise to Him for His love, and sacrifice for you.
As we close today's broadcast, here's a special message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Now, if this broadcast is something that you have been blessed by, as the year comes to a close, I would encourage you to pray about making a year-end gift to help this broadcast continue. You see, we can't continue apart from God's provision through listeners like you. So would you pray about giving a year-end gift to the ministry of Equipping the Saints? We would so appreciate the Lord's help through you.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to contact Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 1-800-596-9144, or at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time for another edition of Equipping the Saints.